brutes assembled in twos and threes and drove me frantic. A few days previously I had shot one loudmouthed singer and suspended his carcass in Terrorum, about 50 yards from my tent door. But his friends fell upon, fought for, and ultimately devoured the body, and, as it seemed to me, sang their hymns of thanksgiving afterward with renewed energy. The light-headedness which accompanies fever acts differently on different men. My irritation gave way, after a short time, to a fixed determination to slaughter one huge black and white beast who had been foremost in song and first in flight throughout the evening. Thanks to a shaking hand and a giddy head, I had already missed him twice, with both barrels of my shotgun, when it struck me that my best plan would be to ride him down in the open and finish him off with a hog spear. This, of course, was merely the semi-delirious notion of a fever patient. But I remember that it struck me at the time as being eminently practical and feasible. I therefore ordered my groom to saddle Pornick and bring him round quietly to the rear of my tent. When the pony was ready, I stood at his head and prepared to mount and dash out as soon as the dog should again lift up his voice. Pornick, by the way, had not been out of his pickets for a couple of days. The night air was crisp and chilly, and I was armed with a specially long and sharp pair of persuaders with which I had been rousing a sluggish cob that